Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. All right, well, it's now or never, folks, and as I cannot emphasize enough just how far we've got to go here and how much we've got to do, but there's so many people that are so fed up, it's just that we need to start synchronizing. And as soon as people start realizing that this is the way, this is the path we have to take, then I think people will start actually understanding that working together actually gets more work done. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. We're going to get into the unorganized militia. We're going to get into what the militia is and some details as we dive into this today. And what we also want to get into are the obligatories, as well as some perspectives on leadership and so forth. Now, Bob's seminar is going to happen. I've not yet heard, and he has not sent an email that it's going to happen anytime soon. And sadly, we've lost a month of time in getting organized and talking to people and getting people engaged. We don't have time for this. This is, as I do this every day for this show, it seems like, you know, my life is completely dragging on, because it's not that I'm not seeing results. It's not that I'm not seeing things happening. It's just not happening to what I feel the urgency needs to be. I don't believe America is Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't believe that I'm Lot and I'm the only person that actually sees good in everything. I know for a fact there are good people, and there are lots of people in this fight. The problem is that we're divided. We need to unite, and we need something to help cause that. This is why, you know, I kind of lean and push these constitutional parties, such as the Constitutional Party and the Independent American Party, to say, hey, why don't you guys start uniting? And I've got some news on that. We'll get into that after I go through these obligatories. Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you're looking for a quality, and I'll just call him an advocate, he is a coach. He will help mentor you in what you need to do to become more disciplined in getting on top of your debt and becoming financially free and being able to become your own boss, your own person, whether that be man, woman, what have you. But I guess I'll go across that unpolitical line, man, woman, as God intended, okay? Anyway, constitutioneducation.us, go and actually send links to people of these classes and so forth as you look at this. If you know somebody that needs some education or needs some insights or at least needs to learn a little bit about the Constitution, or you want to share it with people. As a matter of fact, if you're a part of an organization that says, you know, we need to improve our constitutional education, let's go to Keith Broders and let's actually have, you know, use some of his videos and some of his classes or some of his curriculum for helping people, you know, understand the Constitution a little better. This is not rocket science, folks. We don't have to necessarily struggle our entire life to be able to, you know, work together and being able to actually get people to start understanding what these limitations are and how simple this is. As I look and as I read through the ratification debates and as you become attuned to this concept of enumerated powers, it is so simplified, it is pathetic. Anyway, TimberNation.com is where you can get good quality hardwood furniture. If you love walnut, which I do, walnut just has that nice, you know, I like chocolate, and walnut just has that chocolate look, and I can't eat my desk, but I know it will outlast me. Stan Kluett with RadioDustCovers.com. If you are looking to protect all of your electronics and gear that you've purchased, and if there's something that you really want to protect from the elements, from the sun rays, from beating it up and destroying it, check it out. I mean, Stan will do custom stuff. He's done some custom stuff for us. He's actually, you know, built these large covers of, you know, like a rack and or, yeah, basically it's like a 7-foot rack that we've kind of covered up. And he did a great job, and he actually does embroidery. So take a look at his products on radiodustcover.com, Ad Local. We are actually going to be using these, just so those of you who are listening to understand how to create these unorganized militias and how to start moving towards a constitutional county, we're going to be using Ad Local. We're going to be paying for their services as you get to a point where you're now bringing in the revenues for Reclaiming the Republic, so that we will actually provide you with the email services, the web hosting, all of that type of stuff, so that you don't have to worry about how to do all of that. There's a lot of good people out there that don't understand the technical stuff. We're leaving that to Ad Local, and we'd highly recommend that you reach out to them for your other businesses and the other things that you may want to do. Wyoming Conservative Chronicle, if you're not getting it, I believe they will mail you. I believe this is a hard print newspaper, and I believe that they do mailings via the U.S. Postal Service. Start looking at what's going on in Wyoming and subscribe to Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. Anyway, we've got a comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, before I dive into this militia stuff, and, you know, one of the things I got to remind you, too, is when you're listening to your candidates, when you're listening to politicians, listen and determine whether they're looking at problems and issues upstream, or if they're just talking about the problems and issues downstream. Because when they actually hit the core issues that is causing the problems upstream, like our education system and like our social engineering system, social sciences and all those types of things, not necessarily in education, but in our society. And what I mean by that is when you actually go to social services, when you start going to counselors at school, or you're going into, you know, businesses and all these other things, there's all sorts of either NGOs, government bureaucracies, what have you, that are basically putting all of this political, social dogma into your business, into your life, and so forth. And that is a part of the problem. Government has no business doing any of this stuff. Anyway, Thomas Jefferson and the John Adams election, and I know I'm piquing some interest here, but in the election, in talking to Keith Broders just yesterday, he told me a little story about the first time a state pulled the winner takes all. And what was interesting back in those days is they didn't necessarily challenge it. And as a matter of fact, the state legislators were convinced, because this is the cabal, and this I'm speaking of the danger of parties and how the parties were the problem. Now, you got to understand here, the John Adams Society, or I should say John Adams and his presidency, ran on a federalist platform, a big government platform, and they promised the people that they were going to aggrandize themselves. But they didn't actually come out and say that, but that was their end goal. And so if you look at what they ended up doing in his presidency, they created the Alien and Sedition Acts, which were tyrannical and unconstitutional. But in the election of 1796, and there was a culprit, and I don't want to mention the name. I was actually going to say his name, but I go, oh, let me hold off. Think about who the culprit would be in 1776 that went to New York State and spoke to the New York legislators, because he knew, this culprit knew, that there were the majority of the legislators, the majority of the congressional districts and the state legislative districts, that the majority of them were Federalists. They were Federalist inclined, and they were Federalist holding their power. And he believed and saw that the reality was that Thomas Jefferson was going to actually become the next president. And so he convinced the state legislators to violate the Constitution and actually determine the outcome. And so we, the people, can't allow this to happen. We can't allow state legislators to determine the outcome in choosing the president. Why? Because in our American form of republicanism, and this is basically the doctrine of Sherman, Roger Sherman, when he talked about sovereignty, he acknowledged and he explained in this system that they were creating that the states had their sovereignty and they controlled the sovereignty of these very specific powers that the people delegated to them. And so those powers needed to be protected in Congress, which is what created the Senate. the people also being the sovereigns of all things, sovereigns over their states as well as over all government. He said that the people would get their representation in the House of Representatives. So all of the states realigned themselves into this mode of a government, or I should say representation of the sub-element of government at the national level and at the state level. And at the state level, that sub-element of government is the counties. Counties are sovereign. We, the people within the county, have all the clout within that county. And then at the state level, we compete with the clout of the people, the sovereignty of the people, as well as the sovereignty of the counties. Why? Because the counties actually have a job to get done. And 9 times out of 10, if you let the people have their own way, they're going to constantly bicker and whine so that they can, you know, get a job. So they can, they're only looking at what serves them. You know, let's not declare war, let's declare war. But the counties are actually trying to take care of, you know, the infrastructure, trying to provide the services, those types of things. And so that's why they had representation, just to make sure. And this is what kept everything equal, because by county, you could have a highly populated county, but that county could not overcome what we call the state, or I should say, could not actually start dominating the state, because each county had equal representation, just like the states in the Senate. So this American republicanism was a duopoly, if you understand, or this bicameral legislative body maintained a balance between the two different houses as well as balance within government. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I can't emphasize enough that in a Republican form of government, a Republican form of government means that it's a representative government. But in America, it's not just a representative government of people. It is a representative government and a balance between the people and the people's government at that level. So at the national level, it would be the people of the states as well as the state government. At the state level, it would be the people of the counties and the county government. That's how it was basically laid out. And so it is incomprehensible. I can't fathom how Hamilton was able to pull this off, other than the fact that these people were willing to do whatever was necessary to protect their power and to make sure that Thomas Jefferson, who Hamilton, and I've outed him, because this is the guy, this is the culprit that was trying to undermine our constitutional republic. Keep in mind, Hamilton did not like this representative government. He didn't like the power in the hands of the people. And what he wanted to do and what he did do was he actually started getting empowered judges to start creating what is constitutional. This is why in law school today, they teach that the courts create law, that the Supreme Court creates law. And they don't. They have no constitutional authority to do so. It is right there clear in the Constitution. All legislative powers are vested in the Congress. The only way the Supreme Court can actually influence law is by going to Congress saying, we believe a law needs to exist. And the only way the interpretation of the Constitution, because they claim they can interpret and they can determine what is within this. And this is all about the living Constitution. This is all about this annotated Constitution that the federal government has been using. And so, and as a matter of fact, I talked to a constitutionalist in Texas today, just today, and we were talking, and I mentioned this annotated Constitution. He goes, what the heck is that? And this guy's, you know, has a lot involved in state rights and so forth. They go, you've never heard of the annotated Constitution? Folks, I'm not making this stuff up. There are lots of good patriots out there that are completely oblivious to what the heck is going on, to these, well, I'll just simply say these evils of the federal government and how they've basically hijacked our system. So anyway, moving forward, what we want to do is we actually want to get into the militia, but back to this Thomas Jefferson thing, because I can't forget to not close the loop on this. What ended up happening was Thomas Jefferson and the John Adams presidency in New York, the state legislatures decided to determine the outcome by allowing the popular vote to actually take the overall state and all electors. In other words, they made a bold move to say that these congressional districts do not deserve their own representation in the election and the choosing of the president. This is a typical desperate act that those who want to actually take an advantage, this is how they stole votes in the Electoral College. They do it in every state today. We cannot allow this. If we understand a representative form of government, your congressional district and your elector, the person you choose to be the elector for that president, and this should all be on the ballot. We should actually be choosing. We should not, folks, we've got to stop letting the parties choose your electors. Right now, there are only electors that are delineated for the Democrat and Republican Party. Even if the Constitution Party is on the ballot, they don't have electors that can actually represent these congressional districts in all of these states. It's the same thing with the Libertarians. This whole party system it's subverted our constitutional rights. And this is why I can't emphasize enough how guilty and how much blood is on the party hands and why we all have to be working to actually decimate that. I mean, we have to actually get into the party to basically neuter it, to basically emasculate it, to strip it of all of its agendas. And I don't mean to, I'm just using those as metaphors, to neuter or emasculate. What I'm talking about is we have to strip all of the agendas and the party's only focus. Our political focus must be on the Constitution. There's no allowance for, you know, political compromise in the Constitution. It's either in the Constitution or it's not. So the fact is that they created a system that was actually impervious to politics, but the politics actually convinced the people that the parties and the politics at hand that they wanted to compromise and everything else was legitimate. We've been bamboozled into believing everything that we've got is legitimate. It's time to wake up, folks, and it's time to actually start getting organized. So this is why we're talking, and the focus for the next few shows will be moving forward and diving into exactly what you need to do in getting started and how, as what you're doing, how we can help support you. We need your support. You need our support. And so most people need some money. Where is that money going to come from? Well, we're going to be happy to send you money as long as we're getting our radio show, this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic, in your local vicinity. The contracts we're looking for is to have your local radio station actually pump money into this show that we turn right around and give you the majority of that money back. But that money we're going to give you back isn't to put bread on your table. It's to give you the resources to grow your organization. Over time, you, within a year or so, as a leader, you're going to learn to basically speaking. Most of you are already doing these things. A lot of you are already out there talking, getting engaged with people. And now you're going to actually start getting organized. And you're not going to get organized behind Reclaiming the Republic as an organization. You're going to create your own constitutional county. Or I should say, your unorganized militia, is you're going to establish it, and it is going to move you towards a constitutional county. This is why what we're going through is really, really important. But I wanted to go down this side note because I think it's really important that we start pointing the finger and keeping the focus on the parties. We have to understand who the culprits are here. That the Republican and Democratic Party, even though there's only one constitutional Republican Party out there, one does not do it. And there's no way we can flip the other 49 states. I have no faith in the court system, and I have no faith in the party system. So what we have to do is we have to infiltrate, and we actually have to destroy the party system by actually focusing and getting everybody to recognize that the one thing that will preserve our liberty and the one thing that will preserve our rights is the Constitution, and getting everybody in line in supporting the Constitution in accordance with their citizens' oath, in accordance with all these other things. So anyway, as we were talking about, and we kind of went into the end of the show talking about a militia, let's get into that. But there's one other thing. I know we had a real good interview, and I loved talking with Art. What I need you to start thinking when you're listening to what they're saying, you need to start determining if they're looking upstream at the problem or if they're looking downstream at the results of the problem, because the solutions are vastly different. You know, when people talk about the homeless, we got to take care of the homeless, that's a downstream view, and that is not solving the problem. An upstream view is, why are we getting this surge, and why are there so many people that are willing to abandon their fundamental care, the fundamental desires of a human being to survive and to live, you know, and make their life better so that they can have children, that they can make the world a better place for their children. That is an innate desire in most people, but we have actually broken the spirit of people in America. We have broken the spirit in this concept of the family. And so we have to go upstream, and we have to look at all the culprits that are all involved in destroying the family and in destroying the mores of our society. And education is one of the primary players here. Social services, social engineering, all of these things. Labor, when we look at the role that the labor laws and the Department of Labor in playing the shenanigans and manipulating companies and businesses of, you know, you got to be diversified and equal employment, all of this kind of crap, they have no authority to do this. Now, some people may look and say, well, some of that stuff was good. None of it was good. I believe that it took America a long time, but the reason why it took America a long time to heal from the Civil War and to get over the bigotry on all sides, regardless of, you know, the different races, creeds, colors, what have you. The reason we've been constantly divided in every way, even in music, they play these games of division and so forth. That is Satan's tool in keeping us distracted from unifying. And those who are actually doing the most of the division in America are, and it comes from government. Education comes from government. The Department of Labor, employment, that all comes from the government. Housing comes from the government. Energy comes from the government. And they don't have any power. These powers are not enumerated within the Constitution. And they've assumed these powers. They convinced us that what they're doing, oh, we're going to do good things. That's okay. And like I said, There is nothing in the Constitution that allows the parties to compromise and violate the Constitution. The process is the Article 5 Amendment. They want to have that power. The court wants to be able to create law. Then they need to recommend an amendment to the states, and good luck on that. There's no way the states would ever let the court system create law. The problem is that we've all been duped with the lawyers and everything else. So I understand. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to a good person yesterday about, you know, this big mess. And they were just going, I can't believe how big and complicated this mess is. Folks, this is a house of cards. It is big. It is elaborate. It's a huge mess, but it's easy to clean up. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the problem is very, very simple. It's all about compliance with the Constitution. So when all of a sudden America, when you, at the constitutional counties, when you start doing this, and you basically you start forming your unorganized militia on the concept that this is not, we'll get into the militia concept and we'll get into the vernacular of militia, unorganized militia, and organized. But the important thing is this is a citizenry that puts their foot down and says, look, you have to support the Constitution. We all are required as citizens to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. And you take an oath to actually support that Constitution and actually to execute that Constitution verbatim. And so in essence, folks, what you're doing is you're putting your foot down and saying, if it's not in the Constitution, you can't do it anymore. And that's how we start forcing it at the county level and to the state level, this concept of actually compliance to the Constitution. I mean, isn't that a novel concept? We're going to actually force and demand compliance. And we can do this, folks. We can actually do this. And so what we need to do is, because in doing this, by the way, it blows that house of cards down. You know, when you actually create things that have and built upon the foundations, in other words, you know, like the 17th Amendment, that would be very problematic because it was actually an amendment to the Constitution. And I believe the divine hand of providence has given us what Joe Biden had done to basically blow away that bad amendment. We can actually remove the 17th Amendment. the 16th Amendment, there is questions as to whether it was actually validated and actually legitimately ratified. This is what the audit will do. When we start auditing at the state level, the states will confirm whether they constitutionally ratified that 16th Amendment or not. And I'm confident that either way, the 16th Amendment will either be repealed or it will be wiped away from the Constitution and declare that it was done, or that 16th Amendment was established unconstitutionally. And unlike the 13th Amendment, the original 13th Amendment, the amendment over nobility that removes lawyers from being able to be public servants and citizens, anybody that receives an emolument and or a position of nobility can no longer be a U.S. citizen. That doesn't mean they can't live here. They just can't vote. They have to pay their taxes, but they don't vote and they can't vote. Not that they don't have representation, not that they can't use as, well, actually, a First Amendment petition only applies to U.S. citizens. So they can't even petition, but they can live and relax in the, you know, in the life of liberty and enjoy the liberties here. But it doesn't mean that they can't practice law. They can practice law in their admiralty courts, but I believe we will end up shutting down the admiralty courts because we have to restore common law courts. Common law is the actual law of the land, not admiralty. And if you understand common law, and that's why we try to, you know, dive into that separately, you'll understand that common law is the law of, you know, God and nature's God. That's why we would go through natural law. Anyway. So we're talking, and now we want to focus really on what is a militia by definition. And I tell you that a militia is not an army in the American system. It is not an army. It is a ready-made, it's a citizenry defense. But this is the definition. Let's go start with the definition from Webster or what have you. A militia is, by their definition, an army composed of ordinary citizens rather than professional soldiers. A military force that is not part of a regular army and is subject to call for service in an emergency. They still call it an army, though. And the third definition, the whole body of physically fit citizens or civilians eligible by law for military service, which means all of us. And so this concept of the militia means that all citizens must actually serve military, or in other words, combat type of services, or be willing to and able to serve in a combat role in applying and deploying deadly force. A militia in the United States is a citizenry defense that deploys with deadly force to defend the people and their property. Now, an unorganized militia is actually different. An unorganized militia is not organized on the military standards. An unorganized militia means that it points to the citizenry. And it points to the citizenry in vigilance regarding upholding and obeying and observing the law. So an unorganized militia, because what is the very first call that the federal government would ever call for the militia? Now, we've talked about this, and we go into this quite a bit, but in getting into the Constitution and in Article 1, and we will find it, let me see here, I just want to make sure I go straight to where we need to go. So if you go to the Constitution and you go to Article 1 of the Constitution and you go to Section 8, Subsection 15, it says here that the Congress shall have the power to call forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union. So in other words, the militia is not a defense force in its first essence. A militia, and if you look at before the revolution started in Britain, the people, the citizen vigilance, this unorganized militia started operating, where the people started bonding together and basically saying, hey, our rights are being violated. We have rights, inalienable rights, that, you know, and actually this didn't really, coagulate? This really didn't solidify until we actually got, you know, past the petition stage. In other words, and as a matter of fact, what ended up happening was when I believe the British troops came and started, you know, marching to Concord, that was the shot that was heard around the world. It was the first time that, you know, the British was going to exercise some brute force, and they'd been exercising brute force, and there was the Boston Massacre that happened just before that. And so things were ratcheting. And so as Britain deployed these troops, I think they're going out to an armory. And every county has armory still. But Britain was marching out there. There was a body of citizens that basically stood up and said, "We're not going to let you." And that one shot that actually stopped them and created it didn't really stop them. But what it did was it actually was the beginning of the revolt. People were finally, you know, it's kind of like that gunfight, right, where all these guys have lined up and, you know, you got these two sides. And the first guy that shoots that round off, is the guy that kicks it all off. And it may be this trigger-happy kid or, you know, some old man that drops the gun. It doesn't matter. The shot's fired and everybody responds. That's where we're at. But prior to that point of firing that shot, there was years of petitioning and years of people talking, complaining, and organizing. That is the unorganized militia. The unorganized militia is actually getting the people to wake up to their civil duty. What is your civil duty? Well, what is the oath of the citizen? And I'm going to say this over and over and over again. The oath of the citizen is to basically abjure allegiance to any and all sovereigns and potents and foreign nations and kings and so forth, and actually pledge allegiance to and take heart to the Constitution of the United States, not the president, not the government, the Constitution, and to support and defend it against enemies, foreign and domestic. And so when we talk about enemies domestic, that means we have to take a stand against those people that are playing political warfare, that are playing economic warfare politically on us, and all of these other forms of warfare. We have to hold them accountable. They don't have the constitutional authority, and we need to be the citizen vigilance, that organization in the unorganized militia. That's what you're going to be doing. You're going to actually be the first one, and actually, there's a lot of other people. This all makes sense. You already know people in your county. There's like-minded people all over, and they say, look, this is what we've got to do. And bottom line, when you actually teach them that they have the power in the Constitution, that we can actually use this. So Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is a very powerful thing. It's just unfortunate that we don't have the ability to pull the trigger on it. What do I mean by that? Well, we can't actually go and say, hey, you violated your oath of office. You must be removed. We can't do that. But we can actually call them out to say, hey, you shouldn't be serving. And as we start telling people, because bottom line, when we start using First Amendment petitions and we start attacking these folks and we start going down that path, then what we'll find is we'll actually find that the people start getting it, and they'll start demanding that they'll actually vote in somebody else. They will get rid of that culprit that is denying them of what we call, you know, their liberties and their rights. The people that are denying the citizens of their constitutional rights. Like your governor, your county commissioners, your sheriff, we got to get rid of all of these folks, which means that you're going to have to stand up. So you might actually be, you know, pushed into public service, but don't lose sight of where you came from and what you need to do. And if you do that, you can be, and if you have the integrity and the honor of Thomas Jefferson and the framers, you will be hurled into the annals of the American history that 100 years, 1,000 years down the road from now, we will actually be reading about what you did and how you made those differences. This is a noble and an honorable time to be able to serve, and I myself am your humble servant in helping you. When we get back, we're going to start talking into the details of the unorganized militia and what you have to do, you know, getting started, how to do all of this. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thanks so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so constitutional counties is the end goal. To get there, we actually have to, as a citizenry, we have to have enough of the citizens to actually take a stand and actually get organized and demand that all their local public servants comply to the Constitution. Folks, it is far better to, you know, have this bitter pill of living without the nanny state and the teat of government from the federal government and getting over the withdrawals of what we have to do, or we will be subjected to the mark, we will be subjected to the global government, we will be subjected to despotism and tyranny. That the Bible puts it in context, the land of desolation. The Bible puts this into the dreadful days of the Lord. I mean, it literally labels these times as the worst times to ever live on the face of the earth. So we don't want you to actually have to suffer here in America to the worst extent of all of this. We have an opportunity to disengage and pull back this nation and let the globalists move the rest of the world, you know, off the edge of their flat earth society. Anyway, so what you have to do is you actually have to get organized and starting to call and talking to people. What you need to do is just get a bunch of like-minded people in your county. You already know them if you haven't been going to the Constitution Party. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, if you go and talk to the Constitution Party, those people will instantly jump in the ring and start fighting. If there is the Independent American Party in your county, if there are any members in your county, they will jump in the ring and get fighting. There are lots of different patriots and so forth. There are events that we need to do. But the first thing you do is to say, okay, here's the plan. We need to create and we need to get organized, and this is the organization structure that we have to start doing. The very first committee you have to form, because this committee will actually become a part of your recruitment. It'll be a part of your training. It'll be a part of your events. And so bottom line, it's kind of like the beginning of your party, if you want to call it Sons of Liberty. I think you need to call it the county, the unorganized militia of your county. Let's stick to the actual names so that it doesn't become Bob's, you know, Bob's militia, Bob's party, or what have you. let's keep it in context. This is all about citizen vigilance. There are groups out there that want to use the concept or the terms committees of safety. Committees of safety can easily be dubbed, and many of these groups are actually creating shadow types governments. And so they're trying to say that, you know, the people that they elect are the actual representatives of the people of the county. That does not become legitimized until your county commissioners actually state that, yes, we are going to actually fund and we're going to acknowledge this citizen vigilance right here in, you know, in our county. We're going to acknowledge that this unorganized militia has a very important role in ensuring and protecting the liberties of the people by ensuring that their government and their public servants maintain their compliance to the U.S. Constitution. And so with that, as we kind of move forward into the structure, your initial structure, I'm going to get these slides posted up. They're really not the best, but the unorganized militia starts with you basically filling, and you and these like-minded friends, you have to get them to become a part of this effort in one, communicating and letting people know, hey, we have the constitutional authority behind us to create this unorganized militia. We have the constitutional authority to actually start holding our public servants accountable by using First Amendment petitions. And so First Amendment petitions becomes your first tool, and it actually becomes a marketer and trainer, because most who knows and who understands what a First Amendment petition is. So as you start teaching and as you start helping people understand exactly what the First Amendment petition is, then they are learning about, wow, I didn't know this. I thought we had a right to protest, but protests never did anything. And you'll start connecting the dots of the First Amendment petition and Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. This is something, this is all education. And once they start learning these two fundamental tools within the Constitution, we have the power to remove our public servants because they're violating their oath of office. That's Section 3. In essence, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is removing your public servants for violating the Constitution. So the other side of that is using First Amendment petitions to call them out and demand that they support their oath of office, that they haven't done so yet because they have not took a stand in defending your liberty, your rights, and so forth when your rights have been violated by your governor. So this recruiting and training all occurs based on this concept of doing First Amendment petitions. So you need to actually, and we've got a couple of petitions, and I actually just worked with another one just locally. There's a local First Amendment petition that this gentleman is doing, and he's involved in the Republican County or Republican Party in the Spokane County, and I just helped him kind of word craft a First Amendment petition for auditing the election in 2020. They've been trying to get that thing audited before they destroy all of the ballots. And they're basically at this point holding up the ballots in court to say, you know, we need to do this. And the court's basically saying, okay, well, we're not going to destroy these as of yet. And so now he's going down the path of doing petitions to their county commissioners to demand that they either fulfill their oath as office in office, because the interesting thing about Spokane County is they've got two new seats that are coming up as well as one seat. So there's three seats out of five that are open in this election year. And if they drive this First Amendment petition through, you know, the county commissioners that are there, and they get this citizen vigilance moving in Spokane County on just this one petition of auditing the elections, folks, we actually have a real shakeup where we're going to see the people actually vote for those who are going to support the Constitution. Now, I would love to see it in a more purist type of way, but this is a myopic issue. But this is how you use First Amendment petitions to remove people, even though we can't enforce Section 3. Eventually, when enough people understand that we can do this, that we can act, we actually have the power to remove them. And we want them to create the laws. We want them to create the dots so that we can effectively say, you violated your oath, you're gone. We shouldn't have to wait weeks, months, or, you know, a year to get rid of a politician. We shouldn't have to spend the people's money on an election to get rid of a politician. They violate, especially when they violated their oath of office. They violate their oath of office, they're gone. That's simple. And so, isn't that beautiful? You can't tell me that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment isn't a godsend. You can't tell me this is a blessing. The fact is, the way they've obfuscated, the way they have completely perverted the Constitution and what the Constitution means today in the education system and so forth, that is why this nation is just embracing this scourge and blight that is destroying us, because they're exercising authority and power that are outright violations of the Constitution. And they are using everything they possibly can to finish us off and to sell us downstream. Now, most of these people are kind of oblivious. They don't even understand how they're a player in this, but they all are playing. Because when you become a public servant, you become a warrior for liberty or a warrior against liberty. And 9 times out of 10, people are oblivious of when they step in and they join the ranks of the, you know, this is how we do things. In so doing, they've become a warrior against liberty because they don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand that what they're doing is outright violating the Constitution. So anyway, so you start creating not just this idea of an unorganized militia, you actually start working with people and you start having these First Amendment petitions at your grocery stores and other places, and you get other people to get involved and you start getting them to start occupying these First Amendment petition booths. Have a little computer, have something, bring a laptop, have URLs ways that people can actually look up with their phones, because most people do that anyway. Yours truly does not. They use QR codes or what have you. If you want to go down that path, you can. I suggest that if you just have some basic videos, then we actually have a couple of videos that you can use. And the one video we would suggest is the petition to removing Congress. It is very, and it's called the immigration video. It's on our website. It's about 7 minutes. It's just any person that's going into the grocery store or coming out, they'll watch that video and go, wow, that's very interesting. I want to learn more about this. That's how you get them involved. There is not one person that doesn't want to hold their public servants accountable. It's innate within human nature. The only people that have, you know, completely, I'll just say, abjured and completely resigned to, you know, not even caring into the apathetic life are those homeless folks. They need help to just get back into life. But anybody that's going to the grocery store to feed themselves and anybody that is working a job, they all want to be able to hold government and their leaders accountable. And this is the real wake-up call. So at the very first page in the beginning, a county militia structure, you have to start with literally just yourself doing comms and PR, communications and public relations, recruiting, trainer, petition manager, and events coordinator. But the petition manager and the events, it's all about these petitions and starting to teach people. So when we get back to the next session or in our next episode, we will start covering how you start organizing and how you start building this militia by this recruiting and using the petitions and getting people hot under the collar, going after their public servants. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process.
This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.